The dry cleaning truck crunched up to the security barrier outside the body reclamation unit. Tonto leaned out of the cab window and smiled pleasantly.
Laundry.
The guard consulted his clipboard.
Nope,
he said simply.
There's no laundry delivery down on the sheet. I can't let you in.
Tonto slid his smile into reverse and reached under the dashboard. Rimmer's essence groaned. This wasn't the plan. In the plan, the guard waved them through. He'd seen it in the movies thousands of times. Didn't this guard ever go to the movies? What was wrong with him? Tonto swung his flower power gun through the open window and pulled the trigger. There was a dull, flat, metal click before Tonto remembered he hadn't loaded it.
Sorry.
He shook his head and blushed.
Jesus.
He fumbled three bullets into the chamber and pressed the trigger once again. Click.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Click.
My fault. Man, talk about undertaker.
The gun fired. The guard fell.
Sorry, man,
he said to the dead guard.
I hate killing people. It's such a downer.
Three downers later, Tonto wheeled the double stretcher down the aisles of body racks, looking for Jimmy Jitterman's body. He'd already found Rimmer's, but he couldn't find Jimmy's. He opened the small soundproof box, and Jimmy and Rimmer bounced out.
Your body's not here, Jimmy. They must have auctioned it already.
Not taking that one instead.
That's my body, said Rimmer firmly. Me and that body go back years. It has great sentimental value. You can't just take my body.
Get him another one.
I don't want another one.
Okay, don't get him another one.
Okay, get me another one.
Tonto unhooked the nearest body to him and slammed it onto the stretcher alongside Rimmer's. When Rimmer opened his eyes, he found himself standing in front of himself.
Okay, let's get out of here,
Jimmy was saying with Rimmer's voice from inside Rimmer's body. But before they could move, the swing door slammed open and six armed officers came in firing. Rimmer didn't know who to be scared for most, himself or his ex-self. Jimmy, in Rimmer's body, was standing almost contemptuous of the guard's barrage in the middle of one of the aisles, firing off two handguns stolen from Tonto's victims. He was laughing, too, the high-pitched giggle which Rimmer usually reserved for moments of high humor.
Out the back,
Tonto was yelling.
You go, Jimmy laughed. I got me some goons to kill.
He flicked his guns Cagney style and howled hysterically as small explosions of red burst out of the chests of three of the six guards, killing two and earning the third a permanent desk job.
Come on.
Tonto grabbed Jimmy and hauled him through the doorway, still firing. Rimmer stumbled after them. They dashed down a corridor, Tonto and Jimmy effortlessly accelerating away. Rimmer couldn't keep up. For some reason, running was incredibly painful. But the pain wasn't in his legs, it was in his chest. Just what was this body he'd wound up in? A cardiac victim? A chronic smoker? Then he realized it was because he wasn't wearing a bra and his large breasts were bouncing madly up and down in front of him.
Oh my God, he screamed in a husky female voice. I'm a woman!
And he was. He was Trixie LaBouche. Tonto sat by the window of the nylon-sheeted bed hotel room and looked down at the human sewage below as it went about its sleazy business. Rimmer's nostrils splayed rhythmically as Jimmy snored down them, sleeping off a bottle of medicinal no-star brandy, his wounded arm bound and slinged by strips of hotel room curtain. Rimmer stood in his plain red dress, sawing through a cob of stale bread. Rimmer had been forced to spend most of his time in the kitchen preparing meals or doing Jimmy and Tonto's laundry. It had also fallen to him to make the beds, keep the rooms tidy, and produce the constant flow of thick black coffee which seemed to rate second only to oxygen in Jimmy and Tonto's requirements. He'd argued at first. Why didn't they share the chores? Why was it always down to him? His arguments were always countered with the witty ripostes of sardonic laughter and occasionally flat-handed slaps across his face. He was a woman. End of argument. Tonto got up.
We got any food, chick?
Look,
I'm a man. True, I'm a man trapped inside a woman's body. But I'm still a man. Stop calling me chick.
Tonto laughed.
You don't look like a man.
He slapped Rimmer's backside.
I'm going out to spend what's left of the money. Clean up this dirt hole before I get back, or I'll mop the floor with you.
Having spent the last couple of days in a female body, it was gradually dawning on Rimmer that his own attitude to women was possibly a tad on the weird side. The more he thought about it, the more he became convinced this was the case. All the women his subconscious had created in Better Than Life were either nymphomaniacs or hookers. What this said about the state of his mind, he decided not to investigate. Rimmer sagged to the bed and held his rubber-gloved hands to his woman's face. Then he started to think about Helen, his second wife. She hadn't been a nymphomaniac or a prostitute. There was something about Helen, a certain quality. He'd known Helen in reality too. Who was she? The game had made her younger. Mentally, Rimmer aged her face. She was his She was his mother. He'd married his